I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Councilman Brodol has got a sick person in her family and not going to be able to attend tonight. Citizen input, next item on our agenda is citizen input. Citizen input is on our agenda for those of you who are here to talk about something that isn't on the agenda, that however is the business of the council. Thank you. We want to move item D off the consent agenda and move it down. We'll call it 7B, ordinance to amend OMC 17.13.030 regarding rezone. Item number one, approval of our agenda this evening.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Moved and seconded that we approve our agenda this evening. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number two, approval of our amended consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve our amended consent agenda. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number three, employee recognition, Mel Larson. Item number four, ordinance regarding residential vehicle parking. Daryl?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Daryl Piercy, city planner. Mayor and council members, as I'm sure you recall, we have been addressing the issue of residential parking now for several weeks and a number of meetings before the council, both in study session and an open session. And during the course of that, there has been what I think is a great conversation that has taken place both between council and staff, as well as the community and the council. And through the course of that conversation, I think we've learned a lot. First off, it required us to take a hard look at the contents of our code as it exists today. And in doing so, we're finding that there are many, many elements of our code that complement each other but aren't found in the same location. And by looking through the code and seeing how the parking regulations apply, it is becoming more and more apparent based on the questions that have been asked by the council and the comments by the citizens of the city that the existing code actually does a very good job of identifying those issues of concern that have been expressed in regards to the parking issues in Othello, and properly applied would in fact provide adequate regulation and opportunity for enforcement. I think what has happened is, over the course of the years through the enforcement process, the elements of the code have never been brought together into one cohesive process or location. And as such, it has been difficult to take from one part of the code and then apply another part of the code to get to the point where we want to be. But in moving forward and looking at all of those pieces and now bringing them in together into an analysis that we've provided to the council, it has become apparent that the existing code does in fact have a substantial level of regulatory elements that address and meet the needs of those concerns that have been discussed. And in going through this exercise, it now actually provides us an opportunity to pull those pieces together and begin to apply appropriate enforcement. Now, the overall goal of what we're hoping to achieve is that we're finding this disfragmented elements of our code in a number of different areas. And over the long term, we hope to bring those together in a revision to the entire code so it isn't a series of piecemeal efforts. As a result of that, and as a result of this effort, and as you can see by the analysis that we provided you, it's our belief at this point that the issue of modifying the residential parking requirements should be tabled, and that the existing regulations contained in our code, now brought into focus through the analysis that we've done and bring them together and see how they complement each other, are adequate to address those concerns that have been expressed both by the community and by the council in regards to those issues of parking in our residential areas. So it's staff's recommendation this evening to table this matter and let us explore this and look at it in a more cohesive look of the overall code and bring that back to you at a future date, not only dealing with just the parking issues, but dealing with the disfragmentation of the code as a whole and identify those areas where we can do a better job of creating code for the city that better addresses and brings together those elements so that it is more easily understandable and is more enforceable as we are able to do that. But for now, with this exercise and the analysis that we've done, we believe we have the opportunity now to properly enforce the code and would like to be able to move forward doing that. Be happy to respond to any questions.
Questions?
So the chapter 17.61 is existing code. So we'd actually had in our code that we were talking about yesterday that single driveway parking areas cannot exceed 30 feet.
Correct.
That's an existing code.
That actually existed in code, and it was just in a different location than you might have anticipated when you're looking at parking regulations, but it is currently in code.
Hmm. I guess not to Daryl, but I'm willing to table this if these address our concerns, and I would hope that we use the code to kind of, sort of speak, pick the low-hanging fruit, the yards that have been people have noticed and commented on and reported, and try to bring them into compliance while we're analyzing this.
Well, we're certainly going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I think enforcement was brought up by the community out here too, and we have the tools. We have the tools to do this, and we're gonna be dropping the hammer here on some of these abusers. In the meantime, council may address consolidating this into a more, because just like the 30-foot, you had to look to find it, but it was there.
It was hidden, but it was there. Yes.
It was there. Yeah. Just need it easier and easier to read and easier to find and easier to put together.
Yeah, I think we need to work on this too, because right here it says must be parked on improved spaces, concrete or asphalt, And I know there's a lot of driveways out there that if we enforce that part of it, I mean, people can't, there's a lot of people out there that cannot afford to concrete or asphalt their driveways. I mean, just even putting just gravel's, you know, pretty expensive. You know, so we do need to work on this.
Yeah, we had another one that came in there last week that said gravel was a surface though too, so.
Is an approved surface?
Is an approved surface, yes.
Yeah.
As an existing code?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I think, so.
Yeah, the one section in there shows it to, the kind of controversy whether it's gravel or asphalt, so, yeah.
There is a portion in the code that does allow for gravel, and it actually was adopted at the latest date, the most recent date. And if I'm not mistaken, under the code of construction, you would apply the most recently adopted ordinance if there was a conflict in the ordinances. So we would be utilizing that most recent code as it's adopted for any enforcement action.
Mm-hmm. So if the council is okay with this, we'll table.
I still move we table this till further consideration.
Second.
Chapter 866, point 66 rather.
Do we got a motion to table and a second? Discussion?
No discussion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There is no discussion on the table.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Yeah. Yeah, we did that once before, didn't we?
I checked that part of its procedure.
Remember that?
Before we leave this subject, there's one comment I'd like to make. In my discussion with a number of people throughout the community, there is very little respect for the city. And part of it is because there's dealings that are less than fair, and there's a real fear of retaliation. Anybody puts their name on any kind of petition or anything else.
Well, that's nice to know, Fran. Thank you. All right. Moving right along. Well, here.
What do they think? The council's going to come and beat them up? I don't get that. I don't know who you talk to, but.
It's all right. Let's moving right along here. Moving right along here, Fran.
Sorry. We're
item number 5, third quarter report from Adams County Fire District.
Good evening. boy, I don't know how to follow up things like that. I'll hit the highlights. Third quarter report, we had 44 fire incidents, 94 year to date. Business inspections are ongoing, 41 for the third quarter, year to date, 161. This was as of September 30th also, so we're ahead of this. Staff trainings were 7, year to date, 21. The fire prevention program, we've been in the schools, some of the daycares, the private schools in Othello, and we've seen a total of approximately 950 students with that program. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Yeah, I've got one for you. I think at our last fire meeting, when were we planning on replacing that one truck?
The pumper or the command truck?
I think it was command truck. Were we behind on that one? I'm trying to remember. We had a discussion
no,
about
we,
that.
No, we actually, some documentation has that in 2011.
And
we're on track with savings for that. However, the engine we're behind.
Oh, that's
savings
what it was
for.
I noticed you have down 8112 for 2013.
That would be the rotation.
The biggest.
Yes.
That's at 20 years. For that, right?
Correct.
It doesn't seem that long.
It doesn't seem that long. That truck's still in good condition. And
now,
as I indicated that night.
2013.
You mentioned trade-in value. Is there
that's
or how about refurbishing the one?
Refurbishing is an option. Trade-in is an option. I know there are dealers out there that are looking for quality trucks of that nature. I don't know where the price would be regarding that. But currently, the replacement cost as of this year is $350,000 on that truck.
So we're going to do the budget. Are we needing to change something?
Well, your current savings rate is $20,000
yeah,
a year, and that's at that rate, you're not going to have it on your rotation. If you want to push that rotation out, you could do that as well.
How long do they start? Does the survey lady set?
Right now, that truck is meeting all the requirements. It tests good on the pump test. All the equipment's still testing good on it. As far as surveying rating, I'm going to have to research that.
Well, I certainly appreciate Gary coming in and advising us, you know, these, so we don't get caught up where we have a bunch of old trucks. But this particular truck we're talking about, yeah, it is amazing. It'll be 25 years. 20 years, I'm sorry. But I think it's a good truck. And, you know, if we stretch that one out to, my personal opinion, out to 25 years, and we started getting on that kind of rotation, I don't know if they started building them better nowadays, but or we're using them less because of fire prevention. But that's, to me, is I have a lot of trust in that truck. And seems to be a high-quality truck. And it is a backup. You know, we have a first-run pumper that's, I don't hate to think, it seems like we just got that one. What's that, 5 years old now, or?
2002.
Seems like just yesterday, last year.
Your newest one's the ladder, 75-foot Arrow.
Oh, that's what we just got, yeah, so. Which can fill in as a pumper, too.
Correct.
Yeah, so. I feel confident that we might be able to stretch that 20-year cycle. Still have a good department, quality service.
Again, if we stretch that another 5 years, that's still $70,000 a year, we'd have to save.
Well, I think it was to 13 it was supposed to get to, or?
13 would be your rotation.
Yeah,
now.
That would make it 20.
But yeah, 2018.
So that would give us 7 years. Yeah, it would be $50,000 a year. We'd have to still pay for the command truck in between there too. I think the new command truck is a good.
Yes.
We'll need
right
to turn
now,
that one over.
Right now, you've got $40,000
yeah.
in that line item. Your budget this year will put $60,000 total.
So. We're okay with our set aside that we're setting aside right now. If you want to,
for the command vehicle, yes.
Yeah.
For the quick response vehicle is a better term. Replacement of the Dodge. Mm-hmm. You're right on track with that. With a pumper, you're a little bit behind. Okay.
Yeah.
But you've got some room to adjust too.
Yeah.
If you're going to push it out 25 years, you've got some.
Mm-hmm.
Next year or the year after, maybe increase.
So it sounds like you're comfortable going to 25 years.
At this time, I mean, if survey rating has anything to, you know, different to say about that, I'll bring that.
You'll come up next year and say maybe we need to move this up a little bit. Huh?
I will.
Any questions? Any more questions?
Just. You guys are doing a good job, and thank all the volunteers for us.
Well, thank you.
Nice report here.
We're gonna jump ordinance to amend OMC 17.13.030 regarding rezone up to the next item here. So Daryl's got to travel tonight after the meeting, so we'll move you up on the agenda.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Mayor and Council, before you for consideration is a recommendation from the Planning Commission that was the subject of a request by Eric Olson to rezone property on First Street from C1 to C2. The Planning Commission heard this matter in a public hearing at their meeting of October 19, 2009, at which time they held a public hearing and took testimony. Planning Commission, after giving deliberation, is recommending approval of the rezone request from C1 to C2. Subject to the three conditions that were outlined in the staff report that's in your packet. Conditions are found on page 3 of that staff report. And if you have any questions on those, I'd be happy to address those. The ordinance that would amend the municipal code is in your packet and is before you for consideration. I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Can you just hit the highlights of going implication of going C1 to C1 to C2?
In general, the comprehensive plan land use map identifies this area as commercial. So in the zoning map, you decide whether you want it to be a C1 zone or a C2 zone. All of First Street, for the most part, is zone C1. The reason why the applicant is asking for the rezone in this case is that he wants to do a combination of mini storage facility and office building. And the location is such that the mini storage would be back to back with an existing mini storage facility that's located behind the new dialysis center on First Street. In order to allow for the mini storage, it requires a C2 zone. They're not allowed in the C1 zone. And so to have this combination of office and mini storage, there are two approaches to this if you wanted to move forward on that kind of development. One is the rezone to C2. The other would be to go through a PDD process that would generally allow for this kind of a mixed use. The C2 zone has the same general requirements as the C1 zone in terms of development standards. We've emphasized that in the staff report conditions that the Planning Commission adopted and recommended approval for, indicating that the landscaping standards and the building appearance standards would remain consistent with those that would be required in the C1. The reason for that is because so much of First Street is C1, we want to maintain this harmonious development from commercial property to commercial property. And because you as a council just adopted new design standards for the commercial zones, we wanted to make sure that those were implemented in a manner that would allow for that continuity along First Street. But the general reason for the C2 is simply to allow for this mixed-use development, allowing for mini storage as well.
I would accept them. Is there no any more questions?
I got one more question. So this is just for this parcel, right? It doesn't set a precedent down First Street, but C2 can now be there?
This is parcel specific. It does not necessarily set a precedent for any future rezones requests. They would be reviewed on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. You had nobody that was in resistance to this or anything as far as the kidney dialysis center or anything like that?
Not at all. They were notified directly as we were required to do adjacent property notifications under our code. We had no comments that were negative to the proposal or any public testimony at the hearing that was in opposition to the proposal. And so we've received no negative response at all.
We keep losing our C1 status here, you know. We're gonna have to develop another Main Street or something pretty soon to get it back, but that's neither here nor there. But I think for what it's being used for, as long as it maintains and stays with the C1 status, I think it's probably all right.
I would accept a motion to confirm the recommendation of the Planning Commission to approve ordinance to rezone assessor's parcel number 15290321800002 from C1 to C2.
I make that motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you.
Item number six, review of hotel motel fund requests.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. When the passing of the tourism fund policy, the council requested that all requests for tourism funding be presented to council for consideration. The following Lodging Tax Advisory Committee reviewed the 12 applications for tourism funding prior to this meeting. Councilmember Wilson, Thona Bodai is general manager of the Best Western Inn, and John Renault is represented the Chamber of Commerce. The estimated available funding in 2010 is $59,892. In 2009, the old hotel was granted $5,000 in additional funding to purchase a new furnace. They were not able to complete the project and requested that the unused amount be carried forward into 2010. This amount was added to their operational expenses of $2,735. There was a $15,000 request from Pet Rescue that was turned down because it does not meet the criteria established in Othello Municipal Code Section 309040 as a tourism-related operation. Attached is a listing of 2010 requests, as well as how their requests comply with the formula approved by council for determining funding levels. The Lodging Tax Advisory Committee has reviewed each request for compliance with RCW 6728080 regarding tourism funding requirements. The request packets are included for your review, and this will leave an ending fund balance at the end of 2010 of $43,933 in the tourism fund. The chart that we use is enclosed. And over the last 2 or 3 years that I've been doing this, I kind of usurped what was actually a policy and didn't even realize it until this year. But there was a funding policy, and what I was doing is taking the carryover amount. And you can see it at the top under the estimated funding of $59,892. And I was distributing over the applications from the previous year. So in this case, there was a percentage increase, and I have it down here as 15.865%. And then that would be the maximum amount for that organization to request for the new year. Well, come to find out, this wasn't part of the funding policy. And so what I did is there's a memorandum in here to revise the funding policy. And I just read that. Staff is recommending revising the hotel motel funding formula, removing the funding limit of 5% above previous 5-year average approved funding, and replacing it with a percentage based on the availability of new funding equitably distributed over the number of applications, whichever is less. And the whichever is less is there is a 30% of available funding is a maximum, and I don't think we've ever had anybody that has acquired that. But the reasoning behind this change is that when lodging tax receipts increase from the previous year are greater than 5% and there is no increase in new applications, the old formula would continue to build reserves in the tourism fund beyond the $40,000 reserve that has been established by council. So such is the case in 2010, where revenue increased by 15.865%. That percentage was used to develop a maximum request amount. If approved by council, these changes will replace the original policy approved by City Council on April 11, 2005, and the new policy is then follows that. So I'm asking, the information on tourism funding for 2010 is informational for this meeting. However, I would like an opinion, I would like a motion by council to approve the new funding formula.
Any questions?
I'm not quite sure the statement, whichever is less. I can't wrap my head around that.
That goes back to this chart right here. The very first column, part of the formula is 30% of available. And I'm not sure if I added that in the new, did I add that in the new? It's the third dot down. Requests will be limited to no more than 30% of annual available funds or a percentage based on the availability of new funding. So, or whichever is less. And so that's where the whichever is less comes from. So there'd be the first column where it says 30% of available funding, or the new formula, which has to do with a distribution based on what's available for the new year.
Well, I see what you're saying, and because you're talking about the whole pie getting bigger, more than 5%, but I know the intent when this was passed is we didn't want to keep shifting monies around and all of a sudden increase somebody's 20% and wipe out somebody's 20%. So people kind of had an idea of what was coming to them.
And this would do that, because what I'm asking in this new policy is that the new amount would be equitably distributed. In other words, we would say, okay, the funding is 10% over last year, so every applicant's previous funding would be increased by 10%. It wouldn't apply to one. It would be equitably distributed over all of them.
The unused portion?
Pardon me?
Unused portion?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll get a little dicey when you get the 13th and 14th applicant each asking for $5,000. Yeah. Then I guess it's up to the discretion of the committee to define the equitably.
Exactly.
But I agree with you. I don't see any point in building up reserves in this fund.
No.
Might as well spend them.
That's not what it's there for. I see the committee recommended zero for pet rescue.
That's correct. According to the definition or the for use of these funds, I'll read it out loud from the Othello Municipal Code. There is created a special fund to be known as the Tourism Enhancement Fund. All taxes collected under this chapter shall be placed in this special fund to be used solely for the purposes of paying all or any part of the cost of tourist promotion, acquisition of tourism-related facilities, or operation of tourism-related facilities, or to pay for any other uses as authorized in Chapter 6728 RCW, as now or here and after amended. And it was felt by the committee that the pet rescue does not fall into that category.
Do you understand that? Okay. Thank you for being here tonight. Yeah. I guess I would entertain a motion to adopt.
What I'm asking council to do is to approve a new policy, a hotel motel tax fund allocation policy that would replace the previous policy that was approved in, I think it was in 2005. So this would replace the old policy, this new funding policy would replace the old policy.
You could reference a policy number in the motion. 2009-3 is a new policy number.
The new policy numbers is 2000 what?
2009-3.
Now, do we need this done first?
Sorry?
Do we need this done first?
Yes.
Before we pass this?
Yes, because everything was based on this.
Because we went beyond what the allotment was.
Yes.
I so moved.
It's been moved and seconded. No, second?
Second.
Second? Moved and seconded. Discussion?
I have a discussion. It's just going too fast for me, because we're replacing it with a percentage based on the value of new funding. I get that, but when you say whichever is less, it means you have two numbers out there you can base it on. And I'm not understanding which, what are we, what's less?
The first number is 30% of available funding. That was, that's in the very first column of the block here. 30% of available funding, or this new distribution, whichever is less. Now, at this point in the years I've been here, nobody's ever reached the level of the 30% of available funding. So it's always been the less. Now, in this other case, before now it was 5%. And of course, this was the issue for bringing this to council, is at 5%, the funding in this fund is just going to continue to build up. And we've only had one new application in the 3 years I've been here, and it's actually for a very small amount. So this, if we continued with this formula, this fund would be build up and build up and build up. We actually, the tourism fund, I was talking to Thona Bodai from Best Western, and they had a very good year this year, and it's reflected in our receipts from the lodging tax. And we feel like she had a good year because of the, could possibly be impacted by the school construction project. There was construction people who were probably staying there. And so it's, the funding is very healthy in this fund. So what this would allow us to do is, instead of limiting it to the 5% increase over last year, we would take the total increase and look at it as a percentage and then equitably distribute it over all of the applicants.
So there isn't a carryover?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And keep our limit at, or our balance at around $40,000.
Yeah. I'm thinking worst case, if we're having a tough year, and it's going to be zero, which basically nobody gets anything.
We have done that. Well, actually, that could be one of the cases. It could be zero. I think it was year before last. The funding actually went down, and we had a negative percentage. So instead of an increase, we had a decrease. Everybody got decreased that year, based on what was available. And so we distributed it over the whole. All of the applicants.
It'll just be more of a challenge when the number of applicants changes. But
yeah, I think it's absolutely
pretty reasonable language.
All
right.
I'm done. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Now I'd like to go to page 2, which is the distribution page that we just the committee recommended for the Othello Chamber to give them $15,000, which was greater than the new formula we just passed. And then on the Othello Community Museum, they recommended $1,000. And I took the initiative, because this was after our meeting when all of this came to me. It's like the light goes on, you know, all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. So I limited the chamber to the maximum request column, which is based on the new policy we just adopted. And I changed the community museum to a number that equals the maximum request column. So that those numbers would not exceed our funding policy. Now the committee itself chose, if you can see other applicants in here, who, for instance, I take the very top one, the Caboose Project. The 2010 request was for $1,854. And so the maximum request could have been 2256. The committee chose to give them what they requested, which was 1854. And some of these asked for a lot. As I think you can see, the fair asked for $96,000. So what we did for them, what the committee decided to do for them, was to give them what their maximum request, which was $4,866. And that's kind of plays out down through this thing. If the request was, the 2010 request was lower than the maximum request, the committee chose to give them the amount that they requested instead of the maximum request in most cases.
Cooley Corridor didn't though. They requested 1550 and got 1399.
Yeah, but the last one, the old hotel, requested 5,000. They got 7,700.
Oh, and that's explained on the front sheet here, where they actually
that carryover from the furnace.
Right. During the committee meeting, one of the committee members says, "Why don't you call them and see what their intent was?" Because I talked with Sally on the phone, and she was concerned that if they couldn't get their furnace this year, that they were going to lose their funding. And I said, well, I don't think that would be a problem. I think that if we brought that to the committee and then to council and explained to them that all we're going to do is just carry the money over from one year to the next, that it won't change anything, really. So if you don't spend it this year, it would be available next year. So I think inadvertently on her request, she just wrote in the $5,000, which was simply the capital amount for the new furnace. It didn't cover their operational costs. So I called her on the phone, and she just happened to be there. And I told her what was going on. And she says, oh, no, I didn't mean it to be that way. I didn't mean it to be that way. So we put in the amount that of 77, which is taking the 5,000 and adding $2,735, which would be their operational costs.
Also, on that same factor there, that was a supposedly a one-time deal anyway. That's why that got from $2,700 to $7,700
from the previous year.
Technically,
that's
because
correct.
Of kind of the maintenance and whatnot.
That's correct.
And their expense budget,
that's
and then
correct.
Added the 5,000 with it, so it just be a carryover.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So for instance, when they get their new furnace in 2010, then their funding for next year will look more around the $2,700 range or something like that, depending on what's available. But the $5,000 will go away.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So do you want to...
This is informational for
this
tonight.
This is just informational.
Right, and I'll
okay.
bring it back to council next 2 weeks from now for
so we're gonna. You're gonna use up that $3,900
leftover. We're gonna put it into the balance and just carry it. The committee recommended putting it into the balance and
transferring. Okay.
We felt like we met everybody's needs, and then we gave some extra to people that. What was her name? The hotel lady. Can't think of it.
Well, we initially bumped up the amount to the chamber and to the museum.
Both.
But it turns out that based on this funding policy, that we couldn't do that. So I changed them back to the maximum amount of funding. And I have to apologize to the committee for not actually being on top of that at the committee meeting. That was my error.
So what do you, is this a rainy day fund for a year that it might come in low to bring it up?
What established previously, would there be a minimum of 40,000 reserve throughout the year in case something came
an emergency?
To council's attention, yes, and somebody needed that money, it would be there for the council to authorize.
Okay.
That's established by policy.
All right, well, they should have spent that money for the furnace, because I believe, and Amy, I would like you to check, that I didn't think a furnace would bring tourism to Othello, so I think I voted against it last year. So if you would check on that for me, so I can be consistent to get this year.
Sure.
In terms of the, if that is an authorized way to expend, is that?
I did not believe if it was authorized, it was the intent of a tourism fund to buy a furnace.
Oh, I see.
Even if it meets the criteria. I think that was, I'm having a flashback. They should have spent the money last year, then I couldn't get on my soapbox again this year.
That was only, I think it was only partially of the cost of the furnace, wasn't it? Because they couldn't come up with the difference to purchase the whole furnace. That's where the issue was this year.
Yes.
I've written some grants and I have received other money, but not quite enough to cover the furnace.
Okay.
We'll get an answer for you, though.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Item number seven, preliminary budget discussion, street fund. Start off with the street fund. Water fund, sewer fund, solid waste fund, reserve fund, debt service fund, and special revenue fund. Can I go ahead and start a discussion while we're waiting on something last week? I had a question on. I saw money allocated for a public works service rig, and I thought last year we approved one, and there was discussion that that would be the last one for a while.
There is one budgeted across three different funds for 2010, and it's to replace an older rig that we have. If it was stated last year, I can look at the minutes and get back to you on that one. I just don't know if there's one that's old, we're trying to replace it. But it's spread through water, sewer, and park.
Right. Well, we got some nice looking vehicles already driving around, I'll say that.
Very nice.
Better than the school districts.
We got to realize, though, also that old vehicles can be very costly. I don't know what this vehicle's like, but I know it ever been replaced on one of ours because they were just eating us alive. You know, we went out miles up there, and at least for us, we're going to have dependable rigs to get out there to help the farmers, or we're in trouble. Yeah. So, you know, it's something to think about. I remember when I was at the youth ranch, we had an old Ford that they didn't want to replace the board. I was spending $12,000 a year repairing it, and they still wouldn't replace it. It was like, well, you just should take out there and beat it up. Yeah, but at $12,000 in 2 years, you know.
Yeah, you got a new one.
Something you have to consider. I don't know what the cost was on that truck, but
Well, I don't think they've been doing a lot of replacements of the good vehicles.
Before the meeting.
Yes, they have. No. Last couple of years. Look at that vehicle that Lee was driving. They're still driving it around.
Can everybody see this okay? Is this, I make sure that it's in your view. What I've done is, like I did with
the. Yeah, he's not at the top.
There's a split screen so you can see the bottom of this. Much of this. We did with the general fund.
Mike came in an hour early and rehearsed this, and it did work.
Want me to call my kid?
any third grader.
Yeah. Any third grader.
Well, what the chief mentioned is, it depends on the order you start these. If you turn the projector on first, then you don't have this issue. You start the computer. Well, he did all this before I even showed up tonight, so it looks like I'm going to have to shut down the computer and reboot it.
Reboot.
But before I do that, I got to save all this.
I think you're right.
So I'll save this.
How about the Seahawks?
I didn't think they were going to win that game off the first.
Did they win?
Yes, finally.
Do you call that a win?
Hey, Jay, maybe you could review this while we're rebooting.
Very, very smart, one of the two.
Everybody's got this in their hands.
Did you see where he's recording in the papers?
Yeah. Do you have the overhead?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought you were going to take them on. Say that kind of stuff.
That's okay, Jay. Just run through it. Explain what they are.
It's just him.
Basically, what you have is a handout here.
He's the one that we need.
Is your all paving projects that are going to be in capital for consideration tonight. Some are in the red zone, some are not. The Broadway Avenue center two lanes repaved at $250,000. That basically goes from 5 blocks south of Main Street on Broadway to 300 feet north of the overpass. That's what that one will entail, and it'll be taking two inside lanes, grinding them out next to the center turn lane, and repaving those lanes that do have the where the paver joints are at in the street. Street overlays was suggested at $300,000. That one's also in there for your consideration tonight. Locations yet to be determined.
Those are neighborhood streets? Residential streets?
Yes. And there was even a suggestion made that it goes somewhere else, but that will be brought up tonight through the process. And you'll see when Mike gets rebooted. There's two places in here of Olympia Street widening. One is 4th to 7th. One is 7th to 14th. 4th to 7th is basically a little bit of cut, prep work, and paving. At $220,000, and then 7th to 14th is way more entailed. Requires actually moving borrow ditch and adding quite a bit of material, and that one's at $430,000. The last two on here were discussions that were brought up during committee meetings. I'll go to the last one first, which is the Main Street rehabilitation, a portion of phase three. And if you remember, phase three being the easternmost portion from 14th back. That one, the suggestion was thrown out at $1 million. and that would be a project to be determined at what level. Does it you want it to be sidewalks and infrastructure and paving, or how will that go? We have to discuss that one. And then the second one is a Main Street complete rehabilitation city from 14th Avenue to city limits on the west side, which is near the canal. And that one, with a quick estimate at this point in time, is $14 million. Includes all infrastructure, sidewalks, driveway relocations, handicap ramps throughout town, and a complete rebuild of the asphalt also. It was a little considered tonight when we talked about it through the budget portion of this, and Mike will be able to provide what we have for funding and what we don't.
Question, yeah. Jay. You had mentioned that we had that money from the county, $50,000?
$50,000.
Did you find out whether doing the drawings, is that what it was, or something you're talking about, would qualify to help us keep that money so they can take it away?
Engineering.
The engineering portion of it, and what we're doing right now with the task order is presenting that to Adams County, and we will have an answer because this expires in March of 2010. So we'll figure that out before it expires. Soon, hopefully.
What Councilmember Wilson's alluding to is last March, the county approved $50,000 to give to the city relative to Main Street project. They put a condition on that approval of the money that we must start the project within 1 year. It's a condition that they've never put on any other monies that the county's given to any other project. So March is 4 months away. So what we have done is given Grant Osborne the task order to design Main Street as well as the infrastructure with it. And that will incur at least $50,000. We will take that task order and their bill and give it to the county requesting their $50,000. There's a chance we may have to argue that, but it's our opinion that the engineering is the start of the project, not when they start laying asphalt.
Traditionally, in the past, all of our paving projects, everything else over the last several years has included the engineering in the budget, so we consider it part of the project. You ready, Mike?
You go back to sleep.
Any other questions?
You can give Stan a call. He can be here in 5 minutes.
When you went to the network, it shut off his video. And he got on to the network, and as soon as he logged in, it shut it down.
So what are you saying? He can't
beyond
get back
what
on?
What I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as soon as he logged onto the network.
Oh. Why do you need this?
Because this machine
requires it. I don't need it. I've got this USB, but they were having trouble getting connected to the network earlier, and so he came in later and got the network connected. I don't need the network. Okay, it should be working. And does it say right here?
Giant screen.
All right. Okay. So, I've got the street fund here. Let me speak to you. fund is starting the year with almost $549,000 in beginning fund balance. The revenue estimate is $1,565,000 or almost $1,566,000. Estimated expenditures are at $2,080,171, which leaves an ending fund balance of $34,000. And if I recall correctly, I'm going to go over here to the revenue side really quickly. Well, so that's the 2009 budget. Okay. We've already transferred with that scenario, already shows a transfer of $300,000 from the utility tax fund. So that's what's going on currently. And I gotta get to the, make sure I'm at the right spot here. Okay, yeah, this is 2010. So this is the 2010 scenario right here.
Well, what's the rest of the revenue, Mike? Just summarize, I don't.
All of this or this?
Street fund, no, the revenue budgeted for 2010.
1.56.
Oh. Of course, we're just looking at the bottom of it. The rest of it is, I'll tell you. Retail sales, well, beginning fund is 548. Retail sales tax, 460,000. Motor vehicle fuel tax, state share of revenue is 149. This is our Adams County transportation project that we get every year. There's some interest. And then here's $600,000, which is public works allocation that comes from water, sewer, and the park department. And so that makes up the $1,565,745. That would be this number right here.
Okay.
So if we go to the top, and we start at the top now, we're gonna lose this because I can't split windows. I can only do one split on the window, and I've already done one. So the first, the two columns to the furthest to the right. The last column, the very last column to the right is 2010, and the one next to it is 2009. And then, because the title will go away shortly, and those are the two columns we're comparing. The other column is 2008. So in the early going here, we have patching supplies and then chip sealing, and there's no change in the budget there. Storm drain repair, there's no change in the budget. Sidewalks, there's no change. The change in this section of the budget comes from the electricity. We found out at the end of this past year that we overexpended our budget. Well, and this is 2008, and we've overexpended our budget, and so we bumped it up to $85,000 for this coming year. And that is actually the only change in this section. When you get down to the total, you'll notice that the only change there is the $10,000. Then we get into a little small portion. It's called street administration. We added some office and operating supplies up here. And that's the only change in that section. And then this is just total. Now here, this is the public works expenditures. This is the portion that's allocated to the other funds. It goes to water, sewer, and the park department. And so here's the salaries. And then I'm going to slow down this right here because this gets very confusing, and I have to really apologize for this, but I did not know that this was going to be a bias thing, but BIAS assigned a benefit line item to every employee. ASP was not set up that way. So when we budgeted benefits for 2009, we budgeted all the benefits in one line. So you see right on down here, there is no budget for these items over here. So you can compare 2010, the last year on that line item, because we didn't budget them individually. So that gets very confusing. just wanted to explain that to help you through this, help myself through it, I think. And then, let's see, I don't think there, it's mainly salaries and benefits here. Let's see, I don't think there's anything major. Coyote Ridge went away.
While we're on that salary one there, there was a little conflict back on salary for your individual of number 56.
Yes.
It's showing in there that the salary actually went down, but
yes,
the benefits went up when you get back down and figure the other portion of that.
Yeah. What happened
I think
there?
Jay or you were going to explain that to us and see what happened on that particular one.
What happened on that is, in the year that was budgeted, there was a long-term employee in that position who was getting paid at the top of the range. By the time the budget became effective, that employee was no longer with us, and we had hired a new employee at the bottom of the range. So the old budget was still in there, and so but the new budget is lower because the new employee doesn't make that kind of money. So that did look odd.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, so here's a comparison between 2010 at 954,000 and 2009 at almost 890,000. And I believe that's all attributed to salaries and benefits. That's total public works operator. And now we're getting into the, what I guess you can call the discussion section of the street, and that's in, and I'm going to try to move this over a little bit. What I did, and here once again, this is 2010, this is 2009. What I did is I moved all the capital items over into this section so they would not be in the total. So anything that I would move from this very right-hand column, which is our discussion column, over here, we would have to find some funding for it. And we can look at things like the utility tax fund, the real estate excise tax fund. I believe at the end of 2010 will have over $400,000 in it. And I brought my definitions of what that can be used on. One of the things it can be used on is new construction on streets and other things for streets. So I believe that these two items at least would fall into that category here.
Yeah, I got a couple questions.
Go ahead, Ken.
I just want to back up just a little bit under the road and streets. I noticed under contract labor, Coyote Ridge,
yes,
there's been nothing budgeted for next year.
Right.
Are you going to come back with a budget amendment? Because I understand that we may be able to make the request in February again for it. Or if that don't come through, are we going to go back again with the summer employment of three employees?
You're right about February. We will know. We've received a letter that says we will know by February if Coyote Ridge will be back online. We don't have an agreement. We don't have dollar amounts per hour. So yes, we'd have to come back to the council. And after that point, if Coyote Ridge is not an option, then we would come back to you and say, we'd like to do the same program we did in 09. And here's the dollar amount for that.
Well, you have that in here.
Pardon me?
You have $2,800 in here for summer temp help.
Yeah, for the summer help, yes.
Did you understand right here? This is salary for temporary help. It's now up here under salaries rather than down under private rich. So that's where they took care of this, the temporary help. Now, if Coyote Ridge were to come on board, I would take this item for $22,000 and I would move it down here. I would put it under
yeah, right at the bottom.
Oh, there it is right here. I would take it from up there and move it down here. So it wouldn't change the budget, but it would just be applied to a different
drive a bunch of them, and there's some I've been free with quite yet, and then there's some on there that I think we really need to take a serious look at. We did a great job on our trying to keep up with the streets that we have had on repaving them and stuff. And I think we still need to keep on that as much as possible. And I'm also aware that we do have Main Street coming up, which is a big project. And First Street's also getting kind of really bad between Elm and First Street. It's breaking up a whole lot. I don't know about the Frogway project quite yet. I drove that one several times to see exactly and compare with some of the other ones. It does have some, I won't say deep rutting, a little bit from the trucks, but I don't think it's enough to consider this year when we have other streets that are in more dire need. Scudney Street between 4th and 1st, it's held together with crack seal. You drive down that one little section and that's all it is crack seal. And I think it would be hard to justify to the public why we're doing Broadway when they drive down all the time too, and we've got other streets that are a little bit worse. And I think we need to take care of some of the residential areas too and keep on that track. So we kind of need to look at and prioritize some of our streets that we really do need to get done right away, or before they go bad enough that it's going to cost us a major dollar to redo.
Main Street's getting really bad.
Yes.
Now, the thing about Broadway, why I brought it up, you're dealing with heavy vehicles, not cars. That tears that thing up really fast. You get water underneath it, and you think that thing looks okay right now. You just give it a season or so, what those semis can do to it. You're talking about potato trucks loaded up. They're heavy. You're talking a lot of movement up and down that street, because I watch them. And a lot of semis going in and out, picking up onions and different things. And I don't know, I guess I'd be real nervous about putting it to the bottom, because once it goes, it's going to go fast, I think. It's already started. In my view, we're driving up and down it every day, so.
Yeah.
But it's, those cracks are doing nothing but getting bigger to me. I'd rather take a cheap alternative and fix it right now and have to tear out that middle lane all the way down to fix it later. And on 4th Street to 7th, or 7th through 14th, I drive that every morning. I don't have any problems passing people. I have a van, a minivan, but, you know, when you go past each other. But I think our real issue, we've heard year after year, is 4th to 7th is the one, because there's only one lane there, and when you park there, you really don't have one lane either. You have to drop over the edge there and run down that. So I would rather do that than not worry about 7th through 14th this year. Because to me, it's a good road. It drives nice. There's enough room for everybody to pass each other as long as they're paying attention. So.
But yeah, and I think 7th to 14th, we need to purchase easement for that too. And my understanding is 4th to 7th, we've already got that. Or we've got enough room that we can.
There's enough room there on 4th to 7th, yes.
That project, what you're considering then is just paving that, no curbs, no nothing, just paving that on out. So at least we got a second lane, is that right?
Two full travel lanes, yes.
Plus parking.
Sorry?
Plus parking.
On the south side.
Right. Because I think that 7th to 14th, if somebody parked there, I think we'd be bad, yeah. But I don't think there's any no parking signs either.
There's not much traffic on that road.
Right.
It's a real light traffic road. It isn't something that's heavy.
But if somebody ever decided to park there, that would be bad.
Well, they do, off and on.
It seems like 7th to 14th, there's only a couple of homes that face that street, so people are parking on the street.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're pretty much homes that have adequate parking, so they don't have to park there. From 4th to 7th, it's just ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole thing, there's not a lot of adequate parking there, and people park on the street. If you go down there, you're out there in the gravel. and you drop it off about 2 inches, you know, if somebody wasn't paying attention, why, you'd have it out there in the ditch.
So you want to leave in a 220,000 for 4th to 7th and take out the 430 for 7th to 14th? Is that what?
Kind of sounds like it.
That'd be my
for
suggestion.
For next year. 4th to 7th, yeah.
Another suggestion or thought there too, if you did that whole thing, you're going to change the whole traffic pattern down through that area too. You're going to create a lot different traffic patterns.
You'll get more traffic because of it.
Well, right now the buses are using 4th to 7th.
Yeah.
Well, and actually up to 9th.
Right.
And they come down 9th, come back over to Hamlet there, and then they go into the bus loop at Hiawatha. So there's a lot of traffic from there to there in the mornings, and then in the afternoons when school's out.
The
bus traffic? Yes.
I think the street overlays are important too. We can't quit doing them because we're behind now. We're behind, and if you slow down and do less on those, I mean, there's some of our streets that are in real poor condition.
We are,
I have to agree.
Yeah.
We are getting to the point where some of the overlays are going to require infrastructure work. We've got down to where we've ordered the city, pretty much done the majority of what we can do without infrastructure work underneath. So this will turn into probably water and sewer fund also feeding in to the projects, to the overlays.
Longer you put them off, the more you're going to have.
Yeah, the more of the rebuilding we're going to have to do, the more you put them off. And then that's quite expensive.
So we'll move that 300,000 over to the let's do it column instead of the red zone?
I would suggest doing that. I don't think we need to back off this at all because of the damage that are is being done, it's going to cost a lot of money later on that Jay just alluded to.
Well, we just ask council to keep in mind that last year, in order to reduce mobilization charges, we were supposed to alternate, and we talked about it, and we doubled the budget last year to incorporate tennis courts and such and make the spread out the mobilization costs. So we're still jumping in with both feet, even though we did that last year.
But we're getting further behind every year. I mean, I guess simply because of the cost of asphalt and the amount that was in our budgets and what do we have, a 7-year program?
Yes.
You know, and now it's 14 years or 13 years. I mean, it's...
Right, it was 9 and we went to 13 years.
Yes.
We're getting about half of what we used to get or less.
And the average road... we're a little above average here, but the average road has a life expectancy of 12 years. So we didn't want to exceed that, but we have.
Mm-hmm. And we all know that Main Street is very poor condition. And at some point in time, I mean, sooner than later, we need to get started on Main Street. And... you know, I think by doing it in phases, looking for money, start with the with our engineering firm and the $50,000 that we have here, and try to parlay that into portion, rehab on phase 3 of Main Street. You know, I think that's real important that we embark on Main Street.
Well, my understanding is if we don't do anything on Main Street, we don't get that $50,000, correct?
That's correct.
But if you know, you got to start with the engineering. I mean, with any project, whether it's Main Street or 14th Avenue or whatever, and that's part of the project, the beginning of the project.
And I guess, to me, Main Street's a little more important than the side streets. Main Street gets a lot more traveled in the side streets, and we're talking about doing all these other ones, but we're still putting Main Street behind, and it hasn't been done. I don't know when the last time it was done.
Mayor, maybe Jay can give us a refresher on the three phases for Main Street and what they represent, so we can get kind of a focus on what to do on Main Street. Could you do that, Jay?
Yeah, we identified through Gray and Osborne, actually four phases of Main Street, but the three main phases are from Broadway to 14th Avenue. Phase one being 1st through 4th, phase two being 4th through 7th, or 11th, and then to 14th Avenue is the third phase. That was estimated at $7 million. I don't have the exact breakouts of each one of those, but that estimate did not include infrastructure underneath of Main Street. And that's where on the handout that you have there, we're looking at $14 million. So when we talked in committee meetings about how are we gonna look at this and work at it, because funding just hasn't been available, was picking phase three and working backwards. And that $1 million not being federal funds doesn't have to include behind the curbs. And we could look at that and see how far $1 million out of the street fund would get us from 14th working west.
Use that as a starting point.
Use that as a starting point and work this way. And we would redefine the project as opposed to what Gray and Osborne did, because what Gray and Osborne did was to make it a federal project eligible for federal funding, which includes all the ADA and such. But if funded by public or by the city with just the public money right now, we could look at just the infrastructure and the asphalt and see how far that could get us. And that's kind of what we're looking at with this portion of phase three.
But that don't take care of the problem that we've got down on the other end. Is a lot more damage done there already than what we've got out between 11th and 14th. That's not in that bad shape out there yet compared to what we've got down here.
Correct, and I think the way that we were looking at it was some of it is far enough gone, it's going to be a reconstruction as it is, whereas you could take today's dollars and save something that's still fixable, still repairable for less money, as opposed to a complete rebuild as the five blocks on Broadway were 3 years ago, 4 years ago. That was a complete rebuild. I think the intention of the committee was to look at just restoration, a minor restoration as compared to a major restoration as it is down here towards First Avenue.
And I'm kind of interested in just the pavements and infrastructure right now. I know here a few years ago, we had our sidewalk project, and we made a lot of the businesses redo their sidewalks.
Correct.
To bring them up, and we did the curbs,
mm-hmm,
and the handicap, and I hate to go in there and start tearing those out, because a lot of those businesses pay for that stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. But to be eligible for that type of federal funding, you got to do back a sidewalk to back a sidewalk. Everything has to be completed and done to ADA standards, or you're not eligible for the funding. We're going to fund this ourselves, then we can look at working on some of the trouble area sidewalks, but we can concentrate more on the infrastructure and the pavement itself and not what's behind the curbs, and actually look at streets as opposed to everything back a sidewalk to back a sidewalk. Their estimates included moving all the driveways to meet setbacks and everything else. It was a huge, huge deal. It was a 100-foot wipe all the way through town, is what it was.
Yeah, because to me it's ridiculous to go back there to all the businessmen that we had them spend that kind of money and then say, hey, that's no good, we'll tear it all out. I mean, that's not gonna, you talked about earlier, that will not sit good on Main Street.
Mm-hmm. So that's the intention behind the $1 million portion of phase three.
And then look for federal funding to do the phase one and phase,
correct,
two, which is going to cost $12-13 million.
Yep.
Well, I'm with you. Mark down there about moving that $300,000 down and moving it to that rehab portion. Like Mark Spore said, if Councilman Spore, I mean, you know, we did up everything last year with the thought that we'd back off on streets for a year. I do remember that conversation.
And that was set originally, the plan has been for the last several years, that that was a neighborhood street overlay annual project of $200,000, and then last year it did make it to $400,000.
I go to 1.3 down on that Main Street rehab. Get another block or so out of it.
And at some point in time, you're going to have to rebuild all the residential streets from the ground up. What was the committee's general discussion about, without even having added all the big ones in there, we're in the whole $485,000, how we're going to cover that cost?
That's a lot of money.
Well, actually, these two items here were out in this other column, so that we were balanced until we moved these two in here. Mm-hmm. Because that's $520,000. So when we started, these two were out here, and we were balanced.
I'll move the Broadway middle lanes out to the white for a year.
See what the bottom line looks like, Mike. Moving that 250, move it over to the, yeah. Now, what's that do to the bottom line?
Now, there are some funding sources that there's about $727,000 available in the utility tax fund. But we do have a set aside of $100,000 that we agreed on, I think, 3 years ago for the pool. And it's restricted by council. But that leaves about $727,000 in the utility fund. We have a little over $400,000 in the real estate excise tax fund. And it wouldn't be unheard of to make a transfer from the general fund, which has got about almost a $1.4 million balance in it, even after all those capital projects that we agreed upon last week. So those are three sources of funding.
Is the industrial area money covered by, is that the part of the grant money, or what is that?
Well, this right here, this is a public works trust fund loan that we received this year.
It was supposed to go mostly to engineering?
Yes.
The Hamlet Street sidewalks, the $50,000, could we use that out of the sidewalk fund that we have, the construction sidewalk fund? I think they're about $76,000 in that or something like that.
Yeah, I should look. You want to look at that fund? I can pull that up. Let's see. Budget about $25,000 a year in sidewalks. This is $25,000 that we budget just generally every year. This is not actually targeted for a project, but it's $25,000 that we budget every year for just in case some sidewalk projects come up. So deducting that, we would have about $73,000 left in this fund.
Why couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you fund that
the sidewalk project out of the sidewalk fund.
That would be a decision council to do that.
To me, that would make more sense to come out of the sidewalk fund, especially along the Highland Street, because that's what it was intended for.
So if you go back to the street fund, take that 50 out.
Well, we could leave the 50 in and then add the funding.
There you go, yeah. Or you could take it out of there and put it out on the sidewalk, yeah.
So we would deduct this here.
Yeah, just take that out.
And put it in.
The sidewalk fund.
Put it in over in the sidewalk fund here and.
Right.
And I don't know, Jay, would I add 50 to it or less? Do you want me just to?
This is how we have been replacing handicap ramps throughout the city and sidewalks.
So I add the 50 to this.
You're still keeping the 25, Jay.
Yes.
But you're just moving the project from streets to sidewalk. Just like the pool cover, the pool covers in the streets, we're gonna move that to parks.
Now, is the current project that we've got going, it's not alley ramps and stuff, but.
Well, what we did is we did the sidewalks and the alley ramps together as a combined project, but the sidewalks were pulled out. And we do have two ramps.
Yeah, I'll go back to streets and see where we are.
So the way this is set up at this point, we still need $185,685.
Now, Mike, that $427,000 for the industrial area is grant money we're getting in. Is that showing in on the revenue side?
Yes, well, it actually came in this year, it's a carryover into 2000.
It's not grant money, it is a loan, just a loan.
Okay, loan money, but it's still revenue.
Yes, we received that in this year, it's in-house already.
So that would be built into the beginning fund balance?
That's correct, yes, that's correct.
Remember, that's that money that had the difference in the percentage rate of 3 to 5%, and we had to commit to the project? So if we commit and continue on that project, we get the lower rate.
So Jay, I got a question for you. We just got rid of Broadway and put street overlays in. Which do you feel is more urgent, I guess, is my question. Since we only do one or the other, we can't do both. Doesn't look like anyway.
Well, to continue with the rotation, it would be the street overlays. The Broadway middle two lanes. I guess I look at them as two separate things. If it's either or, then it's either we continue with the street overlays or we take that away and move on to main arterials and redirect.
So I guess my view is your main arterials, the ones you want to maintain first, like Main Street first, Broadway. In Broadway, you've got those heavy trucks, so you feel safe if we let it go another year.
In all honesty, looking at the way the north portion of it was, I wouldn't have an issue with it, I don't think. The five blocks that we did totally reconstruct were way beyond what the southern portion of Broadway is now. I don't know if you remember what it looked like. It was basically a rubber street. The south portion that we're talking about here is in a lot better shape. We could watch load restrictions, lane travel at different parts of the year, and prolong the life of that by quite a bit, which we did do on that five block portion. And we could stretch it out a little bit without, I don't believe, significant.
No, they're both important. They're both important. The council has to decide which one they want to fund, because they both that all needs done. All this needs done, but you have to prioritize it.
But wasn't it the intent? I mean, I'm going to go back to our street overlays again. That was the intent of 09 to take care of 010, right? And we wasn't going to have anything in 010 on our street overlays in residential area, right?
What the council asked in 08 to 09 is that the staff look at doing a public works trust fund loan and doing all the remaining neighborhood streets. The state budget was balanced by eliminating the public works trust fund in 2009 and 2010 in the biennium. So there will be no public works trust funds available for any cities. So we're back to looking at funding it on an annual basis. Mike made a suggestion earlier. If the council says Main Street is your priority, you could take half of the 1.4 million at 700,000 from the ending fund balance, add the 300,000 for the street overlays, and you have your $1 million for phase one of Main Street. That would be a way to accomplish a Main Street goal. You would not do street overlays in the neighborhood zone unless you wanted to bump, leave that 300,000 there. And you could take 300 from the real estate excise tax or the utility tax fund. So you could do both, the street overlays and the first phase of the Main Street project. Just budget $1 million in that. We have to go out to bid anyway, and then we can come back and talk to you about it, about where the money's at.
But we still have to spend more money on infrastructure underneath Main Street. Right?
Well, as Jay indicated, the phase, if you reverse the phases, he's identified a phase that will have very little infrastructure. The rest of it, yes. But if we take the last phase, make it the first phase, it has little infrastructure with it. But you're right, we've got to do infrastructure if we're going to overlay.
And that would give us another year to find some funding to do the stage two.
Yes. I just received an announcement today about millions and millions more dollars going to come down. Now, we did apply for two funding sources, as Jay indicated, for federal funding through the stimulus packages. We did not make either of those cuts for Main Street. And we have been in the race. We did not win that. So here we are trying to phase Main Street with our own money. But that's a good comment, Mayor, about looking for federal funding the next year. That makes some sense, too.
Can I ask that same question? Where are we at with that grant funding or whatever, you know, shovel ready as it's supposed to be?
It's a priority of the council. We can figure out how to do it for you if you tell us what projects you want done.
Well, Main Street would be visible to the whole community, and it certainly needs done. And I think if we start it, it may help us to get some funds later on, federal funds, state funds, because we have showed that we are we are trying to make this happen here.
Let me ask another question here.
Well, what happens if we don't get the funding? Just a minute. I mean, what happens if there isn't any? We do stage three, and down the road a year or two, we're still not able to come up with the $12 million it's going to take, to $13 million, to do the rest of this.
Then obviously you have to prioritize. But there are some other funding options. Mike identified a couple. There's council matic bonds. There's going out to the people bonding the entire project, like we did the swimming pool. Just go to the people and ask them, would you fund this? So there are some other options.
If we did a special levy, which would be a vote of the people, the property taxes are raised enough to cover the debt service. So you don't have to take it out of current funds. Of operations or something like that, that's what a voted levy does. It increases the levy enough to pay the debt service. So if the annual debt service was $500,000, so the levy would be increased, the property tax levy would be increased enough to
the flip side to all of this is, what if we don't do Main Street? Kim's got some ideas about what Othello looked like during the centennial of dirt roads.
Be back to
the rip around lever.
But I have got a question here. I know we're talking about reversing this thing. We're going to go out here from 11th to 14th, and we're going to more or less just repave that, basically, right? How is that going to fit in with the infrastructure when we go back down the other portion of the street and we completely redo everything? Are we going to leave a bottleneck in the middle of this thing where our future expansion, whatever we go east, is this going to be a problem? We're going to go back there and dig that all up and start from scratch again? I mean, this is the questions that I come up with when you start piecemealing this thing together. If you don't start from square one, work your way up, because a lot of people don't understand what's underground. That black stuff on top means nothing to me. It's everything underneath that ground that is important, and that's the expensive part of this. And I don't want to see a brand new street put in, and a year later we go back, oops, gee, we forgot. We got a bunch of water lines, sewer lines, and storm lines that we are neglecting badly in this town, as far as I'm concerned. And when you go back and say, whoops, we got to change that bottleneck, we're back in there tearing up that street, and we throw it $1.5 million away.
This is a portion.
So I'm just throwing it out here. I'm not saying one way or the other, which is
nobody
the
wants
the
to tear up a new street.
And
and that's what we asked and answered before. Can you talk to that, why we're looking at the east end of town?
Currently, right now, we would do any infrastructure that needed to be updated underneath of it. Water and sewer to come back down Main Street. Water is currently past 14th Avenue. Anything beyond sewer service right now that we have is not going to come back down Main Street. It's going to go in a different direction because of elevations and flows, and all that will be considered in there, and we would probably look to the water and sewer funding for any repairs or upsizes that needed to be done on that end of town.
Well, the engineering firm would engineer all three phases, not just one phase at a time.
You would look at the big picture and fix it as you go. One of the biggest issues right now is storm water in the phase one portion of it. Yes, there is a lot of water that needs to be done throughout the whole thing, less on that end of town. Your most expensive part of the project is right downtown. But we wouldn't build a bottleneck in that is that in engineering for this.
Well,
but $1 million doesn't get you digging up the whole street and repaving it from gravel.
No, we would have to look at all of that. We haven't spent a lot of money on engineering for this, mm-hmm. on the infrastructure, until we actually get it, because it can get quite expensive for the engineering portion of this. So we haven't looked at that level of detail underneath of Main Street. That we kind of know what we have there compared to what we have downtown, but until we make a decision, we don't want to throw all of our engineering dollars
better if we set a site in Maine and then go next year with another million? Do a bigger project? Or that still probably won't even hardly touch it, will it?
Well, then you run the risk of costing more and more each year, and that's where we're at with overlays also. It's every year just got more and more.
Well, I'm trying to balance this, and I realize we can take money out of that utility fund, but I'd sure like that money to develop a new park, and I think we got to get relative here. Any time I think our roads are bad, I just take a trip to Spokane, and our roads are like a new freeway compared to that place. So that's enough for me for a year. That's because they got way behind on their overlays.
They don't do much overlays.
Remember when we talk about infrastructure relative to roads, we're only talking about paving with this fund, water fund and the sewer fund, which we have. Sewer has $2 million in it right now in reserve. They pay for the infrastructure under the road. Water pays for water, sewer pays for sewer. This is really just paving. So we have the other funds that will kick in and help pay for that infrastructure.
Well, I'm with Ken. I think if we're going to do something, I know it's more expensive down on the other end from Broadway up, but to me that makes more sense to start there and come up this way, because I know all that's going to have to be replaced. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can only go three or four blocks or three blocks or whatever it is, but I think we need to start somewhere, and I don't think up there is the right area to start.
But if you put the money in and say you want the West End, you want the project to start in West End, that's what we'll do. Just give us put a dollar amount in there and we'll do it.
Well, you won't even get a block. You won't even make it a block.
just as a comparison, South Broadway or Broadway South Main was five blocks 4 years ago.
Yes.
And I think that was $750,000. And that was 4 years ago. And that was a complete reconstruction based everything. If you started over.
Even if we took that $1 million and moved over, that would put us almost $1.2 million in the hole in that fund, and we only got $700,000 in reserve from the utility. I mean, where are we going to get the money to do it?
Well, there's about $400,000 in the real estate excess tax fund.
But then we're robbing everything from, and the real estate excise tax was something I think we were hoping to use for our new park in case that. That's what could be used in that.
Write to your congressman, get some money.
Said there was $1.5 million in the general fund?
I'm sorry?
That we heard?
General fund, I think it's just a tad under a $1.4 million at the end of 2010. After we did all those capital projects.
And that's no earmarked to nothing. There's nothing tagged to it at all.
Me, I know this is the public's funds, but this community, this council has did a very good job of maintaining our budget. We haven't had to go out for very many increases to the public to fund things. We've even had some things that we've had increases and we've been able to eat them without going for increases. If we start going out and start robbing all these other funds now to pay for this, I think we're gonna put ourselves in a spot like a lot of other communities are right now, where they're finding themselves short. This council's been very good on not doing that.
Maintaining those reserves.
See us getting into that spot to where we eventually get in that. And it don't happen, our choices now may affect it 5 or 6 years down the road on that. I really hate to go see robbing all those funds just to pay for 1 year.
It could also go the other way too and affect us by not doing it also. Question, Jay. The bad areas on Main Street, is there a temporary patch you can put on oil and rock or something that'll hold it for a couple of years while we try to save money up to address this issue or something like that? I guess I'm throwing something on the table. Maybe they're not. I don't know.
Portion of Main Street on
serving much. It is to a point where we need to reconstruct.
But also part of the problem of our storm drain problem right now, because we've got no area left on the edge of the road where your gutter's at to carry that water. We've shortened it up by putting that crown in the road, and you've got a very little channel there for the water to actually flow.
Yeah.
And that's part of what's creating part of the problem.
Asphalt's in the gutter repair, and some of it's chipping out, some of it's staying, it's retaining water, it's freezing, there's just too much asphalt in it. Adding to it is only going to compound it.
Will, what do you think?
Get somebody to donate $100 million.
Yeah. Yeah, the $14 million price tag is just, you know, it's even the million dollars. And if you, like Ken says, if you start robbing from all these other funds and take these reserve balances down, then they're not going to be there next year.
The original $7 million, like I said, was for the federal funding. That was back of sidewalk, everything. We could look at this a lot closer and probably get a lot further for the money if we stay off of the sidewalks. Just replace the necessary curb and gutter. Don't move driveways at this time. And just concentrate on the asphalt itself, and then the other funds concentrate on the infrastructure needed. We could probably go a lot further, and that dollar amount would be a lot less. That $14 million is a brand new Main Street, everywhere, all the way through everything.
Sidewalk, outside, including sidewalks on both sides.
Yes.
Well, that makes sense. You know, the comments were made that, you know, we had the businesses go out and redo their approaches, and, you know, just tear them out and tell them they got to redo them again. That is not going to be good.
Well, it's still down on a project like that. You need, if we're going to tackle it ourselves, I don't think we're going to get it out of our general funds. We got to go out and get either grants or low interest loans or something. And then make payments
just,
in the future.
This is more than we can do on our own. We got to have some outside money.
So are we sticking in there then and see what they can do for funding?
And where are you going to take this money from? You're going to take the $300,000 out of street overlays, and the other $785,000 to balance this thing comes from? Now this $1 million is just for the street portion. How far will the sewer and the water pitch in, and, you know, as far as starting on the west end of town, where you're gonna have major.
There's enough in the sewer and water reserve fund to do a phase, the infrastructure of phase one. If you want to do it by phases, infrastructure after that would have to come from another source.
Because of the cost.
Yes.
What would happen if we took a third out of our reserves and go two-thirds as a low loan or whatever on that, a low interest loan from make up the difference, but rather than spending all of our marbles in one basket on one phase of it, take a portion of that, spread the rest of it out over a period of time, and then we'd get that portion of it done, and then possibly do the same on up the line with the other phases. Because there's no way that we're going to come out of a general fund to be able to do all three phases of that thing. Because we're going to run out of money. But if we take a portion of it for each one of the phases and then have a low interest loan, or maybe we could still go out and get some funding federally to make a portion of this work. But I don't think we want to take everything out of it for the first phase of it and take it out of our general budget.
That's what I was thinking, put the $1 million there, we haven't spent it, and see what they can do about finding the money. Whether it's a low interest loan, whether there's a grant out there we didn't know about, we try for again, or who knows. But see what we can do there.
That's the ideal. Exactly. If we want to move ahead with the engineering on phase one, get that all in place, and then work towards whatever that engineering estimate is to fund for next year. Just don't put any money in there at all. Wait until we come back and then put in the money that the engineering estimate comes up with. So you don't have to put any money in there now at all. Just wait until the project gets an estimate and we can refine our numbers a little better. And we'll just come back and say, we need this money, much money, and you say yes or no.
You have 50 grand of engineering cost into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually more than that.
Yeah.
50 that we're going to get back from the county, hopefully.
I mean, the engineering on the SR-24 industrial area is $427,000.
Figure anywhere from 7 to 10% for those guys before they get through with their cut of it.
So, Mike, if we backed out that $1 million, that would balance the budget, and we just come back and ask the council what they want to do. And we've still got that Olympia, the 4th to 7th in there, 220. You want to leave that in there and work towards that?
About it every year. I would think so.
Yeah, with the buses using it, I think that portion needs to be done.
We're good on the balance side now.
Yeah, but I don't like paying mobilization charges over a small project like that. I mean, you're either in or you're out.
Right. That's a good point.
We could tie that to Main Street, can't we?
I'm sorry?
We could tie that to Main Street once we figure
out. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And get away from that. If we don't release the bid yet, but just hold on and see what they're going to come up with for us.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to do 4th to 7th unless we did Main Street. Then you got your mobilization costs covered. Right.
So, council wants to leave the budget as it is, the street budget as it is, as it's presented there, and then come back, look for some funding, and possibly come back and ask council to put $1 million if we can find matching funds or a grant or something, some help here.
Do a budget amendment. Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing, or does council want to plug some more in there?
Jay, do we need some in there for engineering?
Will, if the $50,000 doesn't come through, I have a general budget of $60,000 for engineering, but I use that for everything else throughout the year. So we
should add some for engineering.
I think we need to get the whole project engineered. I think hold our $50,000 for the county, because we're putting funds in there to show that we're
right.
Working in good faith.
what would happen if we at least match that 50,000, at least that'll get the engineering going, and that'll show in good faith that we're putting money into this along with the county. Get that much of it going, and the engineers can get started on it, and then we can work on the remaining part of that.
That's our argument to the county, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you wanted to put engineering in there?
Yeah, just make a line for engineering.
Yeah, just let me have it out there here.
Gotta start someplace.
And how much? 50?
50. And that isn't gonna, I don't think it's not gonna get all three phases engineered.
No.
But
no.
You may probably have to come back to council and with a different number later on, but I think we have to start somewhere here.
Yep.
There is some engineering done on Main Street at this time, and that is just pavement. Now we want to start looking right here.
But I think the important part is what's underneath the ground and what size of drain pipe we need to install to get the water through town
and
out of town.
You got them doubled.
No, I
think no. Everything that you have on this sheet needs to be done, and needs to be done soon. But we did, council's struggling up here because we can't do it without jeopardizing our position in the fiscal position here. Like Ken says, we're fortunate to have these reserves in all the areas. And
that's
if you start pulling and depleting all those reserves, and then down the road you may find yourself in dire strait.
This last little item is swimming pool cover. I don't know what made me put in the street Anyway, so
everyone use it to put over the bad streets.
We'll move that over to Parks and Rec.
If you want to put a cover on the pool,
Jay
went out for an estimate, and it looks like it would be around $5,000. If you want to do that, then I'll add this to the capital in the general fund.
Yeah, and this was, so you know, is two manual roll covers. For the pool, we couldn't locate all the rolls for a cover for a section that big.
Is this a cover for the off season, or is this a cover for to hold the heat in?
Every night.
Every night. Well, you're going to get that $5,000 back in one season. I would think, in heating costs.
This is just the main square or the lap portion of the pool.
Mike, I got a question for you. The revenues for the SR24 industrial area, is that added into that 1.5 million right there? The revenues only is because we received the grant for that. Is that included the revenues, or is that just the current revenues that we receive from all of our taxes?
This is current Public Works Trust Fund monies that are 127,500. Yeah.
Okay.
This is in here because if we spend the money, we have to have an appropriation to spend it. That's why it's in here. So it's in the $2,050,000 here and under expenditures. The revenue is in this beginning fund balance because it came in this year, and so it's being carried over into next year, and it's in this carryover right here. So that's the revenue side of it in there, and then the expenditure side of it is down here.
Okay, so because my concern was, that's only leaving us a beginning balance of $64,000 for next year. So that's going to leave us even shorter for other capital projects even for next year.
Typically, we don't carry much over in the street fund. I think the council approved a minimum beginning fund balance, I believe, of $75,000 you want me to move ahead on the proposal?
Pull that up and just rolls off to the side.
We have transfers, we're transferring, I showed 20,000 going into the vehicle reserve fund. And I was doing this to balance the funds, so we had a positive fund balance. It's a general fund cost allocation. This is the public works trust fund for the Broadway reconstruction. This is the new Broadway. We just paid off the old Broadway this year. So so about this much in debt service went away. And then this $6,000 is the amount that this fund contributes to our IT position. This used to be budgeted in the street fund every year, and now we move it into the IT position. So that's how we get to this bottom line, right, the street fund. So if there are more questions on this one, I'll move ahead into the water fund. I'm not even sure we need the 2008 portion in there. I chose not to show the bottom portion on this fund because I think I don't think this is going to be a very controversial fund. If it does come down to that, I'll certainly do it. The Water Administration, $100,000. Let's see. I have no idea what the cost is going to ultimately be. I think this number is high, but I put it in each of the funds. This is water operations. The bottom line here is it went up by about 24,000. Let's see, that is in part of it's right here in water testing services. Chemicals, water testing services went up. This system improvements and rehab, $20,000. Are there any questions? Tell me what you said.
System improvements and rehab. What is that?
Anytime that we get into a little short section of water line. Or we buy water parts, couplers, taps, such as that. We have a separate section just for hydrants, but this is not just the system itself.
This is the debt payment on the this is for a well, and I don't even have the number of the well here. But this is old debt service. It's ongoing. And we moved the $1 million for the new well from 2009. We moved that into 2010. One of the things that came up in committee was if you put a new well out Cunningham someplace, that there's going to have to be a water line. And there would have to be some funding for a water line extension. And I think Councilmember Taylor brought that up.
Yeah, that's another one of those projects that, we put the well in, but we've got to get that water from point A to point B. It's another one of those expenses we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do there and where it's going to come from. So.
Yeah, we just wanted to identify it and make sure the council knew if we do a well, there has to be infrastructure with it. So there's no number there.
This well number six rehabilitation, $312,000. Hand meters and water line improvements. The water fund share of search truck, electronic reed meters, the ongoing replacement of reed meters. Transfers. This was our computer tech that used to be budgeted in this fund and is now transferred to the general fund to pay for that computer position. This is the general fund cost allocation. And we're basically, even with a $1 million well, we're still transferring almost $282,000 into the reserve fund. This transfer will bring the reserve fund just over $1 million. And then this is the public works allocation. So the bottom line is, we start with $1,097,886. Our revenue estimate is about $2,174,850, and our expenditures are $3,008,000, and that's with that $1 million well. And we still end up with an ending fund balance of $263,887. Any questions on that?
Just on capital, I don't like so much. It just says $60,000 for waterline improvements. I don't hear any kind of plan. It's
this year one
pretty ambiguous.
Go ahead, Jay.
One that we planned this year is with a new warehouse that's going on Hemlock and Railroad. They are putting in a water line on Railroad Avenue, and what we would like to do is tie that back to Broadway. That's one portion of it that's going to be completed. Being a small enough project to be performed by the Public Works Department. That will come out of that capital, and simply because it is that amount of money, we want to put it in capital as opposed to just a general line that you would be spending.
So you're making some kind of loop, or
it will be, yes.
Or it's not now. It won't be looped, and unless you use some of these funds to loop it, it'll be a dead end.
And they're building a business that's generating jobs and tax dollars down there?
It's actually an extension of the Olympics at Congress grocery store. They're building a warehouse behind it.
Gotcha.
10,000 square foot warehouse. Any questions on that?
So if there are no more questions, I'll go to the sewer fund.
Thank you.
Sewer administration, it makes $1,000 difference. Here's $1,000 that online payment budget. I bet I got it. Sewer facilities is the same. Operations and maintenance went up, $2,000? There's a difference here of $4,000, and then this went up by $3,000. Here's $5,000 for street repairs, repairs to the streets. Jay may be able to speak to that.
Usually what will happen is any sewer work that we will do, it's in the street, will require a street repair. And as opposed to having the general fund the street pay for the repairs to the asphalt, having an enterprising fund pay for the repairs to the asphalt for that type of work.
Okay. Total operations. Capital expenditures, just the share of the search truck. And this was also, on committee, Councilmember Taylor mentioned this as well, and I don't know why all this stuff keeps popping up, but the sewer line extension would also be involved in a new well going out to Cunningham, and so that was another
all these funds that we're driving down, we're fine on our ending fund balance levels that we did as a council? Lower levels? Low levels?
Yeah. I try to keep these at the levels that the kind of council approved way back. It's been a number of years before I came here. Mm-hmm. And so I try to keep these funds at that low level and move any excess funds into the reserve funds. And of course, we have it all invested. So it's our interest. I mean, they call it interest, but it's not.
Not earning a whole lot.
You transferred it out of there. We got a notice of double savings bonds. Interest rate on those is zero.
We increased the alley approach just by $20,000. Now, Jay, the 2009 portion is going to be spent in 2009, correct?
Yes.
And then we're also budgeting another $40,000 for next year. I think the recrush and grinding is a carryover, isn't it?
It has been. We've never been able to corner a contractor to do the small amount of regrind that we want to do.
So this is a carryover. This will be done. This portion will be done in 2009, this alley approach, and this is all new, this 40 is all new. This portion down here is a carryover. Interfund transfers, general fund cost allocation, it's basically all there is to this fund. The beginning fund balance starts at about around 196, and is anticipated to end at about 117, 118, 70. Every year we budget this thing, we look at revenue and expenditures, and expenditures, our estimates tend to exceed the revenue, but it always ends the year the other way around. And here we haven't had a rate increase in this fund. I'm never quite sure exactly what that's all about. But
can I add one more thing to that? In our negotiations with our collector this next year, I think you could play a little hardball with them, and I think they'll might even lower their rate from what they had in 09. That's kind of the trend, what I hear is happening in portions of eastern Washington. So it's just a kind of a heads up there that we might even better what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to see, and I might cover these a little bit out of order, but I think I have them in the order of importance. This is the special revenue funds. So tourism's right here. And of course, we looked at that tonight. This is the revenue portion up here. Our estimates. And then here's the expenditure portion. And this should match what we had in the council packet. 55, 950. The distribution is the same that we
What fund was that again?
Excess tax fund.
Pardon me? You want to go back up?
What fund was that that dropped down from 50?
This is the real estate excess tax fund.
Okay. But he's wondering why he,
right,
he went to 35,000 instead of
Yeah.
55.
Maybe it's based, let me just say this, maybe it's based on our year-end estimate. Oh, wow, can't see that. Why, oh, here we go. So our year-end, so we're, as of 8/31, we're at 30, and I had a year-end estimate of 35.6. And that, I think that would let me to be conservative on next year's estimate.
So Jay, I noticed we didn't put anything in for parks equipment and renovations, so there's, parks are in good shape, don't need stuff, huh, evidently?
In parks capital?
Under real estate excise tax, you have a parks equipment renovation. Some of that money is used must evidently to keep up parks, I assume, or 46,000 you've done, looks like you spent it this year. So it must be the new toys we did last year?
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
So there's nothing in the works for this coming year, evidently.
Well, everything in the general fund, all the capital in the general fund, we took out of MD fund balance because we had such a huge balance in the general fund. And we're still left nearly $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm. We're building this one for our new park.
So we're saying we don't need to do anything in the parks this year, correct? Nothing in the parks to do.
Basically, we've looked at the, if we go back to that fund, we looked at the slide and the, I think just our general repair costs are always in there, nothing major planned for these parks.
No capital purchases for the parks.
I just wanted to make sure you didn't overlook that, because there's $46,000 missing there, so.
Are we in the latest scenario, all the good stuff, huh?
Are you looking at this money up here?
Correct.
Yeah, we transferred that to the general fund in 2009 to take care of the work that we did in the parks. Some of the work that we did in the park is covered by this amount, this money. If I looked over here, I'll see what. Park equipment and renovation, and then the library air conditioning was also funded by us. Move on to the utility tax fund. Here's our utility tax fund. This is, the revenue is coming into this fund this year. Right on target. In fact, it looks like it could exceed our estimate a little bit. So I was thinking about when I do budget amendments, which I'll be bringing next council meeting for the general fund and for the street fund, I was thinking about a budget amendment for this fund, because if revenue comes in, half of it goes to the general fund. So that's an expenditure which needs to be council approved. Anyway, I'll look at that very carefully, and if I do ask for a budget amendment, it would only be because of revenue that I would be asking for it. And here's on the expenditure side, this is our general fund, half of the utility tax on the general fund. This is the $300,000 that I showed in the street fund. Debt service for the city hall refunding bond, and then this is the 20,000 fire reserves, and this is what it looks like. When I mentioned the 727, it would have an 827,000 funding balance, but we restricted $100,000 of it for the pool project, for the pool. That was a set aside, and I never really totally understood that, so what that was all about. But $727,500 fund balance in the utility tax. This number here. And then we have the sidewalk fund, which we looked at earlier and adjusted it by adding that walk path sidewalk gamble. So we increased it by 50, leaving a fund balance of 23,015. So if there's no questions, I'll move on to, I think I'll look at the reserve funds because I think those are pretty relevant. Everything is relevant, but not more than others. See, I'll just close this part here so that we can read this whole thing and move on back over here. This is Fund 104. This is that fund that would purchase proper park property. It looks like by the end of next year it would be over $300,000. Here's the left fund that we put $10,000 into it every year, and it should be around $62,250 at the end of next year.
Mike, can you go back up for a minute to the real property? Ken, you made a statement, Ken Johnson made a statement earlier about, and let's make sure we're clear on the REET, the real estate excise tax,
yes,
versus the property.
The
real property is where the funding is secured for purchase of park property, not the real estate excise tax.
Yes.
That's a separate $400,000 fund. So,
you, yeah, I
okay.
Got that confusion.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Well, there's the left one again. And then this is the private farmer reserve. At the end of this year, we'll have 40,000, and then we'll add another 20, so at the end of next year, it'll be around 60.
So we need to look at this over the vehicles?
Pardon me?
Having to replace that one truck 12 years down the road, whatever it is now, 15, whatever we're at. Do we need to look at the amount we're setting aside?
Yes. Councilmember Spohr asked me to look into that, and Jay and I will put something together. We'll get back to you on the vehicle.
And then now we go into the, let me get these out of the way here. So can I read this? That's too far. So this is 2010 in the Water Reserve Fund. The revenue coming in, well, it's interest earnings, and then revenue coming in is the almost 282,000 is transferred from the water fund. We looked at that in the water fund earlier. And so we leave a fund balance of $1,141,000. And that's after paying cash for $1 million well. The sewer reserve fund, this is the money we looked at in the sewer reserve. In the sewer fund, I said it would be transferred into the reserve fund. And it starts at $1,441,000. There's interest earnings in there. And so it would be at $2,021,000 roughly at the end of next year. There's a solid waste fund. It starts out at $1,198,500.
still in good enough shape with it that it's usable, but we need to start looking at replacing this truck within the next probably 2 to 3 years.
What's the price range of that?
$300 to $350.
So that's what we're looking at in terms of the reserve of this fund when we think about using it for street projects or something like that. We do have.
What is that reserve labeled again?
Pardon me?
What is that labeled again?
This is the street reserve fund.
Oh, street.
Yeah.
Oh,
street. And we, as you can see, we've been putting about $60,000 a year in there from the street fund. This year, in 2010, the budget was $20,000 to balance the street fund.
Jay, what's the value of your old one when it's time to trade in? Nothing? I mean, like.
No, we want to trade it in before it happens.
Before it turns to nothing.
Because we did that with our street sweeper, our old Elgin. I mean, we drove it into the ground. It just, and it was, I think we ended up with getting $10,000 out of it, if that. I mean, it was probably $8,000. And we spent $150,000 on a new one.
Yeah.
We just want to get to it before it's probably one of the most important pieces of.
Yeah, you use it a lot.
Something were to happen in it, we would have an appropriation to spend the donations that come into it. And I think that only thing, see, we got street, special revenue, we didn't look at debt service. That's pretty boring, but I'll bring it up. It's kind of slammed up, you know, there's not too much you can say about debt service. If you owe it, you pay it. And this is the City Hall refunding bond. And this revenue was transferred in from the utility tax fund. And then here's the payment. We don't keep a balance in this fund. So there's a zero ending fund balance. There's no purpose in keeping it. And then we have the Public Works Trust Fund. Once again, the old 1989 one was paid off this year. So now it's funded by a transfer from the street fund, and we don't keep a balance in here either. It's we keep it at a zero balance. So that's the total budget.
Any questions? I'm sure there are.
Could you go over that again?
Yeah.
Start with the first one.
No, good job, Mike. Yeah.
You know, the real real issue here tonight is our street fund. Everything else, you know, we've managed to council set reserve balances pretty high, and we've managed to keep fiscally where the city of Othello is in pretty good shape. You get into the street fund and you keep it's a high enough amount, especially to do Main Street, that I think the right thing was done tonight. I think by putting some money in there for engineering and If a matching fund becomes available, or a low interest loan, or whatever, council will be approached to move some funds to secure other financing. But if that is a project that we're going to have some outside help on. We can't do it ourselves. Council agree with that? We're going to have to go into debt.
Yeah, and I don't think we want to deplete our reserves, and you know, in the sewer and the water to do this.
Yeah, well, project, you know, it should be good for 20 years. So I think you can look at that and stretch that figure into that 20-year bracket. And I don't think it looks quite so bad that way, you know.
on a low interest loan,
yeah,
possibly.
Yeah.
Well, more than 20 years. When was this put in? The 60s? Early? When was Main Street and the infrastructure underneath?
About 40 years. 1910.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Item number 8, unfinished business. Item number 9, new business. Mark.
Jay and Eamon, I noticed cones all over town where they put in the base for signs that I think they're supposed to be the solar powered speed limit signs for the schools. Do I pester the city or the school to get those signs put in?
The school. We go and we put the sleeves in, and they actually install and maintain those signs, just as we did several years ago with them. They ask for the sign pockets where we would test, you know, place them, and we do that.
So as far as you know, we're all ready for them to come and place the sign in and
correct,
power it up. Okay.
Any, Ken?
New business?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's new business. I want you to notice there is 3 new additions to Othello. We have 3 centennial signs up. The other one will probably be up this weekend. Anyway, just take notes, see what you think of them. There's one on First Street as you come into town by Napa. And I had a crew out there on Sunday afternoon, put those up. And then we had a special crew man that come across the street. And if it hadn't have been for him, I don't think we would have got that one sign up. But our good mayor stopped over and said what we were doing. And I was parked in the middle of the street. I was sure that I'd get a ticket for it. He guaranteed me that I wouldn't get a ticket to be parked in the street because we had an important business of putting in a centennial sign at the Napa there. We've also got one out on Broadway from Evergreen, and we've got one out in the pumpkin patch at Smith. So we've got 3 out of the 4 up. The other one will go on 14th here. So once you take note, I think they're a beautiful sign, and I think they look great. So
they do. They look really good. We thank you for the time you're putting in on this centennial.
When did you get my bill?
Fall cleanup day is Saturday, November 14th, primarily yard residue down at Boersma's. Wednesday's Veterans Day, City Hall will be closed. And we have Thursday, November 12th at the Senior Citizen, we have the monthly Mayor's Luncheon. So if you council members would like to go to that, Ken, you're sure welcome. And we've got a picking up a little collection here for Tammy House. She's lost her husband, and we want to buy a bouquet or some flowers. And if anybody's got an extra dollar in their wallet or their purse, we sure appreciate it. So with that, we'll adjourn our meeting. Thank you.